Welcome to the Full Press Coverage Jets podcast. I am Michael Palace. Today is the fantasy football edition because your drafts are probably around the corner after the real draft. And the dynasty drafts are actually going on as we speak. So I brought in the power couple of fantasy football, Kate and Michelle Mazjouk. I think I got that right. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us. You're going to inflate our head too big before we get into the topic of discussion.
Am I going to inflate? I don't think I can inflate Michelle's head anymore. I mean, what?
I don't think so either.
Rude.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
You're right.
Except for the fact that Cam Akers' offensive line was terrible. But we'll not get into that.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I've only heard it a couple times.
No, but in all seriousness, no. I think when it comes to production, I'm gonna have to get off my jokes for a minute, and I think he can get about 1,000 yards and 3 to 6 touchdowns total at his peak, which is about an average.
As similar as I was expecting.
You didn't think you thought it was going to be higher?
I did.
Well,
with all the fury on Twitter.
Well, I have to get off the jokes and be serious once in a while. Let's see. Let's kick off with dynasty football, which isn't my forte because I haven't played regular fantasy football in a while, and I've never played dynasty football. So for the people who don't understand the dynasty angle, how long do you have your team for?
Well, the goal is to have it for, you know, a very long time. I mean, if you find a good league, you hope to be in it for
– Well, do you mean, like, the players that you actually draft? Because those are yours forever until you decide otherwise.
Yeah, the team you draft, like, you never get rid of them unless you trade them or you cut them if they're really, really bad. So And you're going into the mindset you're going to be keeping this team forever because you don't ever expect a league to fall through.
I think it definitely, the term dynasty definitely fits perfectly here because it really is, it's not just looking at a redraft league where you can take a bunch of older vets who are very experienced, who might not have value a couple of years down the road. You have to sort of get that good mix of young players versus, acquiring picks and future rookie drafts. There's a lot of balance there that I think gives you a nice experience in terms of mimicking a real GM. Yeah.
And I think the most fun part about Dynasty is that it's all about – so hopefully your league is a lot of fun and there's a ton of trades. We're in one league right now that there's been a trade every single day for, I think, the last 20 days. It's been so much fun. The goal is to sell at a player's peak, like the peak of their value, right? Like, and then hopefully get rid of them before they start declining, where it's never going to get higher.
So basically, dynasty fantasy football is like the stock market and the New England Patriots.
Yep. It is.
So that means there's a separate draft for rookies?
Correct. So every year... Yep, so every year you'll do a draft still, but it's only for the rookies. And those draft picks go in the order of how well you did. So, if you won the league, then you're the 12th pick. Or if you're in a 12-man league, you'd be the last pick, unless you traded it, of course. But it's kind of like the NFL in that way, where if you're a good team, you're going to have the last selection in hopes that the worst team has a chance to catch up to everyone else. So they get the 101.
Are there dynasty leagues with IDP or most of them full defenses?
There's a lot of them with IDP. We don't play any IDP leagues, but I do know it's a big thing. Defenses, like team defenses, aren't really a thing at all in dynasty just because I think the best part about defenses in a regular league is being able to stream them, and you wouldn't be able to do that in dynasty since there's so many roster spots.
For instance, right. I do have one league left that's still doing, like, team defenses, and it it's super hard because in the season, when you do want to stream a defense, they're all owned.
Yeah, they're all owned. And, like, you can't really draft a defense knowing they're going to be good for 5 years. Like,
yeah.
And you're not really going to trade for one. I don't know. I don't like defenses and team defenses in Dynasty, but I totally get the IDP. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I just don't pay enough attention to defensive players.
So who are the best rookies coming up? And, well, instead of making it broad, let's look at the offensive rookies first. Who are the best offensive rookies coming in that you would want to draft early in for your Dynasty League?
Well, Jonathan Taylor is my 101. Even in a Superflex League, which is a two-quarterback league where everyone wants Joe Burrow 101, my guy Jonathan Taylor, he is light years, I think, ahead of the rest of his class. He looks like Ezekiel Elliott out there. His legs are like Saquon Barkley, but I actually think he's a better pure runner. I mean, he's not as good of a pass catcher, clearly. But that dude has so much power. He is so incredibly fast that if he breaks through that line, he's gone. He's gone. And he runs over people.
I do think it's definitely a contrast to, let's say, last year's draft. I feel like there wasn't a true, like, 101 in last year's draft, or that there at least wasn't a clear, like, lead back that seemed to be running away with the show. There is some debate among the fantasy community who is the true running back one of this class, but I have absolutely no qualm at all. It's Jonathan Taylor.
Like, I really like J.K. Dobbins as well, but it's not even close to the same. Like, J.K. Dobbins had a lot of space to run, and I'm not saying that, you know, Jonathan Taylor had a nice line as well, but he really fought for those yards up the middle, and he was dominant there, and I don't think that we saw the same from J.K. Dobbins. He's still very good, but he's a little bit riskier, I think, than Taylor. I think Taylor's one of the safest prospects you can go with.
The one knock on Taylor has been that he's got a little bit of a fumbling problem. He's got the fumbly mumblies.
Yeah, you can fix that.
But you can fix that. And when you watch this guy run, you will see why he has so many fumbles, because he looks like he is bulldozing himself through a brick wall every run.
Another guy, because I guess that was probably the easy, low-hanging fruit there to go with Jonathan Taylor, Denzel Mims might be I can't say my favorite wide receiver, because I know Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are out there, and I love them as well, but Denzel Mims is one of my favorite wide receivers in this class. He does have also drop issues, but I think his quarterback was really, really, really bad. And when he didn't make plays, it was because the ball was thrown to the ground. But he was one of the best playmakers on his offense, well, by far the best. And I truly think he'd be a wide receiver one in this league. I would love for him to end up with the Houston Texans. And I think he can be immediately impactful for fantasy, only for the fact that he's going to be targeted so much in the end zone. He's one of those big guys that can you know, get those touchdowns right away in his rookie season, kind of like DK Metcalf did. And that's why I also like Chase Claypool going into this year as well. If I'm going to take a rookie and redraft at least a wide receiver rookie, then I want a guy that's going to be targeted in the end zone, because that gives you some floor. Because normally a rookie is never going to put up big numbers as a wide receiver. So
Chase Claypool is 6'4", 238 pounds, and he ran a 4.42.
He's a monster.
At the NFL Combine, which means, you know, his size in relation to his speed is absolutely unreal.
Like, you don't have to to tell me. I'm a Notre Dame homer.
There you go.
He's definitely raw. Like, I think he's raw, but I do think he can get out there and start right away for a team. It's almost like a DK Metcalf type. Where maybe you can start slower with him with the route tree, and then get him more comfortable there as the season progresses. But, like, if he went with a good quarterback, like an Aaron Rodgers, would he not be targeted in the end zone like 15 times in the season?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But I think the benefit for him is that he's big enough to definitely bridge that gap between the, you know, making those leaps between your rookie and sophomore year in terms of, you know, understanding an NFL offense. Because you know what? You don't need to learn much to be big and catch the ball. So I think he could definitely be impactful from the get-go. Another name that we are super, super into right now, aside from, you know, the obvious CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson's another guy that we like. But last night we were watching a lot of Brandon Ayuk.
Like your red
guy
hot
out of Arizona State. Do I?
Yes, because I actually have a question about Dynasty when it pertains to Ayuk. Can you play a guy in two different spots?
It depends on your league, and it depends on the, like, actual platform that you're using, because some platforms will use designations for players. Like, last year, who was it? Was it Jalen Samuels that could be a tight end and a running back?
Oh, yeah, I meant like offense and special teams.
Well, I've actually never played in the league with special teams.
Because Ayuk brings special teams. I mean, I guess it would be. I guess the special teams would be more for a traditional fantasy league. Because then, if he's playing for your defense special teams unit, he brings special teams value. Because he's a returner as well.
In a way where a returner can help you in fantasy, like if you play him, he would have to go all the way to the house. He would have to take it into the end zone. But if you did score that touchdown on special teams, you still get those points for him in the wide receiver position. You just wouldn't get the yards for returning.
Some leagues do have returners.
Yeah, and then that's when special teamers become massive value. But most leagues don't have return yards as points. That almost came out very bad. Sorry, but the touchdowns do count.
Because Brandon Ayuk is actually my favorite second round real draft pick for the Jets if they were to go receiver in the draft because of his special teams value. I just wasn't sure in dynasty leagues how that would work with his special teams value, because I don't know how much of an impact he's going to have as a receiver as a rookie. Because I'm pretty sure he's probably going to be in the 500 to 700, 3 to 5 touchdown range, and I'm not sure what. I guess it depends on the how you assign the points, but I don't know. That's like a wide receiver 3 or 4 in a fantasy league.
Yeah, and I think that's what you probably have to expect for most of these rookie wide receivers. It normally happens that way, where they'll have some big games, but they're not going to be consistent. And I mean, what you really should expect is about 600 to 800 yards. A.J. Brown clearly went off at the end of the year, but you couldn't start him at all in the beginning, and that's how it normally is for rookie wide receivers. So, yeah, I agree with you there. If Brandon Ayuk goes to the Jets, it'll probably take a year or two to get him acclimated and actually good, A, for the Jets, and B, for fantasy football. Does he remind you of Stephon Diggs at all?
That's actually a good comp. I just don't know if he's going to produce at that level regularly. He might, or his peak might be 800 to 900 yards, but he could be the long distance burner that gets you 8 to 9 touchdowns.
I think that just bringing this back to the special teams point, actually, it sort of triggered another thought. Just in terms of, like, general dynasty advice, too, like, you got to know your league's rules, because, like, the thing that you brought up about, you know, whether or not a wide receiver gets yards for, like, returning punts and stuff like that, that is a huge game changer, because, like, in that sort of format, Tyreek Hill might be the 101, and you're going to have, like, Ryan Switzer with the Steelers would have had fantasy value. Not really.
Probably not. He got, like, 3 yards of punt return.
But it definitely changes things. So, like, your drafting strategy should definitely be centric to sort of how your league scores. And
yeah, if you're ever going into a draft and you don't know your scoring format, like, tell everyone we need a pause, because that's going to matter so much. There's some leagues that give you a point per first down, rushing first down or receiving first down, or more points to the tight end position per point reception, you know, like if they do 1.5 point per reception. So it's super important to go look at those scoring formats, because it's going to change so much with how you would draft.
I might now want to play Dynasty. I actually haven't played fantasy football in like 3 years. I played at work, and I took a huge gamble on myself because the guy was looking for me to pay him, and I was like, "Nah, I'll pay you if I lose," and then I won. So,
nice. Nice.
So I just got $20 less than I would have anyway. And I actually made the fewest transactions in my league. So I got lucky there that there were no injuries.
So you had a nice draft.
Yeah. And whenever you look at my redraft, it's like, why did Michelle make so many transactions? It's like, it's always the top of the league. I'm doing way too much. I'm always dropping people, adding people every week. Like, my whole roster. I'm just obsessed with the waiver wire.
But the issue with that is that you also miss out on a lot because you're constantly dropping. And
for sure. Like, I hit on a lot, and then I also make really stupid mistakes because I'm doing far too much. But I do think Dynasty is definitely meant for people who are obsessed with fantasy and want to do it all year long. It's a lot of trading. A lot goes into it. I love it. I think it's so much fun. It gives you something to do in the off season, but it's definitely not for everybody. And redraft is so great.
So what's the difference between Dynasty and Redraft?
There's just a lot more thought that goes into it. Like, there's players that maybe you're not excited for Redraft, but if you think about them in Dynasty, they just have a lot more value because they can keep getting better. And then there's all the rookie picks. They have certain values, so you're training for those, and it's about rebuilding your team. Like, I won the finals in a league, and then I blew it up because I had a lot of pieces that I thought were getting older and they might decline soon, and I didn't want to lose that value. So I kind of sold them for a bunch of younger pieces. But it's just all that thought process. I think there's a lot more strategy that goes into Dynasty.
Oh, definitely. And I think in terms of how I actually play and approach each of these different formats, I definitely am more prone to taking risks in a redraft league because – you know what? If it doesn't pan out, you start over again next year. You get a clean slate. I take more careful management of my redraft or my dynasty leagues because whatever moves I make, I'm stuck. You got to live with those moves. So, you know, you have to put a lot of thought into whether or not you're going to trade those, you know, those rookie picks for a player that might be able to produce sooner than later. And it's definitely a lot more involved, but honestly, like, once you get the hang of it, so much fun.
Yes, for sure. And in redraft, I'm much more carefree because I'm like, okay, I can get rid of this person. They're not performing. I'm just getting rid of them. It doesn't matter. Like, because you're done with them after this year anyways, right? So the goal is just to win as many games as possible right then and there because you have 1 year to win the championship, and then it's done. In Dynasty, you don't want to give up everything to win 1 year because you don't want to stink the rest of the year.
Right.
Kind of like the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, except in the NFL, you probably have a much more difficult chance to be a dynasty.
Yeah.
Could win multiple years in a row. But when it comes to traditional fantasy football, are we still in the mold of the running back as the most important position, or has that drastically changed?
I really, really like running backs. I do think you need to have top-tier running backs to dominate your league. However, there's a fine line in Dynasty especially because wide receivers last so much longer. Yeah, but, like, if you own a CMC, he's worth so much more than even a Michael Thomas, I think. So if you really, really hit on your running back, his value is going to be insane, but it's just not going to last for long. And then, like, if you own a Michael Thomas, his value is going to last 10 years, like, for a really long time. So that's just the difference. But I still do think in redraft especially, like, running backs are always going to go earlier than wide receivers because there's just not a lot of great ones. There's just not a lot of depth. It's like, okay, there's your top 10, and then it's a bunch of garbage, pretty much.
So when it comes to the, I guess, traditional fantasy redraft, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
So QB wide receiver combinations. Oh. What would you say are the top five?
Ooh, top five. All right.
You know number one, right? Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. It's probably easily. And that
I'm also thinking miss not just one team QB wide receiver combos, but mix and match also.
Oh.
Well, I would still let that one stand.
Mahomes and Michael Thomas would be the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
Would that even be possible? Would that even happen? Can that even happen? Or do you think one of them would go and then if you pick one, the other one wouldn't fall to you?
Well, okay, so it could definitely happen in a one quarterback league because no one should be taking Patrick Mahomes before the third round. So, and Michael Thomas would go very early first. In a super flex two quarterback league, no, it wouldn't happen. But if you're taking a quarterback before the eighth round, really, in one quarterback league, you're doing it wrong. But if you're taking a quarterback before the third in a one quarterback league, you really, really, really are doing it wrong.
I think, the thing that you definitely need to point out, Dynasty, too, is a little bit different because you do want a quarterback with longevity. I want a good quarterback who's signed to his team, who has solidified himself in the NFL, as opposed to some of the, younger guys like a Sam Darnold or a Mitch Trubisky. Like, relying on those, it's not super fun. It gives me anxiety. But I don't know. I like to have those solid guys in a dynasty league, but when it comes to redraft and, when you get a start over at the end of the year,
you can go with old guys. So
you can go with the old guys. Yeah.
Another one. Like, I think, so when we're going with quarterback wide receiver, one I thought of right off the bat was Breeze. And we'll name another wide receiver here in a second because we brought up Michael Thomas a lot. But if we're going with people on the same team, Breeze in the games he played last year, he was fantastic for fantasy. And he played 10 games last year. 8 of his 10, he scored over 20 fantasy points. Pretty much all of his passing going to Michael Thomas. So I think that's one of the best combos you can get. And you can get Drew Brees pretty late in drafts, like 9th, 10th round.
For the record, his home road splits are still real?
They are. But not so much this year because it's 8 out of 10 games, he scored over 20 points. He did pretty good.
And you got to factor in the -4 rushing yards.
Yeah. What is that? I cannot figure out. So I checked multiple sources. They all say -4.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how they got to the -4, though, because it didn't make it. I don't know how they. I don't discount the actual stat. What I discount is how they got to it, because it didn't make sense that he had -31 rushing yards on planned runs.
Yeah.
Because they didn't run enough. I didn't think he had that many designed runs with Drew Brees because he's not a runner.
He certainly is not.
Yeah, he's not. another one I want to go with. I kind of like sticking with the same team here, and I think that's okay because having that stack is always a lot of fun in fantasy because if they score, then your quarterback is scoring too. So that's just a good way to get ahead of your competition there if they have a good game. So one that's kind of a sleeper, I think, is Matthew Stafford and Kenny Golladay. Matthew Stafford was fantastic for fantasy last year before he got hurt.
One of the best seasons statistically that I think people would have put him – maybe not seriously in the MVP conversation, but if they were actually looking maybe like a semi-winning roster, I think he would have been in that conversation. Like, do we remember the fact that Aaron Rodgers was in the MVP conversation?
Yeah.
Well into
Stafford. Stafford was doing great, and he was on a terrible Lions team like he always is, poor guy. But Kenny Golladay was also one of the very best wide receivers to own in fantasy when Stafford was still playing. And I think they're still going to struggle in the running game this year, so they're going to be forced to throw. Their defense only got worse now that they traded away. Who did they trade away? Their corner? What's his name? Lost my mind. They traded away their top corner. So their defense is only going to be way worse, and they're going to have to throw a lot. So I love Stafford and Kenny Golladay connection.
Darius Slay,
thank you. Give me one.
Yep. Lions, Darius Slay to the Eagles.
Yep.
Yeah, Darius Slay to the Eagles.
God, I'm going to miss him on that. I'm not going to be used to seeing a decent piece on defense of the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to destroy him. Who do you like for a quarterback wide receiver combo in the league? Maybe not even just for fantasy, but who would be your top? If you could put any wide receiver with any quarterback, who would you want to see?
Oh, any wide receiver with any quarterback?
Yeah.
And you can't
DeAndre
name Michael Thomas now.
What?
I said you can't name Michael Thomas with Mahomes now because I took that.
No. I was going to name Mahomes as my quarterback, but I wasn't going to name Michael Thomas as the number one receiver.
Okay.
Hopkins.
Ooh, that would be really pretty. You're right.
That might be a 2,000-yard wide receiver, which we've never had.
I do think that could be the case. I do not think that will be the case this year for Mr. Hopkins in Arizona.
No. I'm saying if it was with Mahomes, he would probably get somewhere near 2,000 yards. But I don't know what he's going to do in Arizona because they have a running quarterback. So I don't know.
I'm worried about Hopkins with Murray. Like I think Kyler Murray is going to be one of the best fantasy quarterbacks to own this year, but I'm not so sure. Like I think Hopkins helps Murray more than Murray helps Hopkins.
If you were able to pull this off in a draft, one of them would be late. But if you stacked Murray, Hopkins, and Fitzgerald.
Ugh, I will never own Larry Fitzgerald in fantasy.
Yards. Why?
Because he never does anything. Like, ever. He'll have, like, one good game a year. But for the last couple of years, he's been really, really bad for fantasy. I mean, you're lucky if he gives you 10 points. So he could fall to the very last round for me, and I'm still not drafting him. I'd rather take someone with more upside. I never take a guy that I know exactly what he is. Like, a really old man that barely does anything, and I know exactly what he is. He has no potential to break out for me. I use those later-round picks on a guy that's younger. That can completely break out, and if he doesn't, I'll drop him and pick up someone else off waivers and try again. Larry Fitzgerald is going to be stuck on your roster all year long because he is who he is, and then you lose all that potential.
Well, for me, I would never have I don't think I've ever picked anything but kicker in the last round.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I've always gone. Defense and then kicker in the last two picks.
That's the way to be.
Yeah, that's the way to be.
In the redraft leagues, but I have a feeling I know where you're going to go with the next two positions, and that's running back and tight end at the top.
Yes.
In the redraft. I think I know where you're going to go with the top running back because I'm pretty sure it's Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
How did you know?
We're not getting cute. We're not overthinking it. It's CMC so hard. He can regress by a ton and still be the running back one. Like, he's the guy you want at your running back one spot. Next would be Barkley for me. He really came back together at the end of the year once he fully got over that ankle issue. Hopefully, just the team in general can get better so they can stay in the field longer. I do think some of that does fall on Barkley only being able to do, like, massive plays and then a lot of negative plays. But
last season they had so many offensive weapons, but you rarely got to see – I don't think you ever actually saw the full team on the field.
Yeah.
They were all – one of them was injured, at least one of them, or suspended at all points in the season.
I am a little bit worried about Barkley if everyone stays healthy. So if Tate and Slayton and Shepard and Ingram, they all stay healthy, then Barkley may not get as many targets. And I think Barkley's game depends a lot on getting those targets because I don't think he's as good of a pure runner as the rest of these guys at the top. But he's so good in fantasy because he's such an awesome pass catcher. But I'm still going to keep Barkley there at number two, though. And then at number three, especially in Dynasty, I mean in a redraft, but he might even still be for Dynasty, it's Ezekiel Elliott. I feel like people were disappointed in him last year. That can happen, though, after a holdout. He started a little slow, but I think he will be fantastic and be used more in the passing game this year and keep scoring those touchdowns. Do you agree, Kate?
I think Zeke and Kamara are sort of 1A and 1B for me right now.
What, like 3A and 3B?
Yes, 3A and 3B. I think that Kamara is somebody that I'm very intrigued by, although I'm bummed because his price hasn't dropped as much as I would like for the season that he had. You know, my hope would be that, you know, given his less than ideal production, it did come out that he was injured for some of last season. I think it was a leg injury. I don't like his price as much in terms of the return, so I think I lean Zeke, but Kamara's definitely up there.
If the Jets fix their offensive line, I hate to go Jets. I hate to talk just anything Jets here, even though it's a Jets podcast. Is Bell anywhere in your top 10, top 5?
Definitely not top 5, but I would keep him in my top 10. So he was actually, I had him so high last year. Like, I really believed that he was going to come back and really put it together for the Jets, and it just didn't happen. I know it's not all of his fault. The line was really, really bad, and then Sam Darnold missed some games, which just, like, hurt the whole team. But I still think Bell has something in him. If they can just draft, how did they not? Did they sign any offensive line guys this offseason?
Yes, they signed George Fant. They kept they didn't keep Kelvin Beachum. They kept.
That's good.
Who else did they sign? McGovern, Connor McGovern, the center for a 3-year deal. Most of the lines were prove it 1-year deals, and well,
I feel like they needed a really good Jack Conklin, or they need to.
Jack Conklin was too expensive. Jack Conklin, the Jets weren't going to get him because the Jets were playing the fiscally responsible card.
But like, come on, you can't pay Le'Veon Bell all that money and then not want an offensive line. Like, do you want him to do anything?
They're going to build it through the draft.
Okay, well, that's fine. I do think they have a good spot there in the first round to pick a left tackle, but is that going to fix their entire line? Probably not. But Bell helps if you're in PPR leagues, just because, I mean, last year he's getting like 10 receptions for like 23 yards, but that's still 10 free points just from PPR, even though he didn't do anything. So right. I still think he's going to be in my top 12 running backs for redraft, especially. And then I do think he's one of those guys that has the potential to be a top 5 running back if it all molds together and that line is better.
My question for you, actually, from a Jets perspective, what do you make of this sort of, I don't even know what to call it. It's almost like this undercover attitude problem with Le'Veon Bell within the Jets organization. It seemed to come out last year that, you know, obviously there were the rumors that Adam Gase didn't want to sign him because, you know, he thought he was too expensive. But it just hasn't seemed like there was a good rapport there between the Jets organization as a whole and Le'Veon Bell. Do you think that impacts his usage at all, or do you think that they'll just continue to utilize him as the bell cow?
I think if the line is better, they will use him. By they, I mean Adam Gase, because I don't think it's an organization problem. I think it's an Adam Gase, I want to do it my way or the highway problem.
Yeah.
I think it's an Adam Gase personality problem that he needs to work out, and it's not a an organization as a whole problem. Adam Gase, it did come out that Adam Gase didn't want to sign him for the amount of money they signed him. It's not that he didn't want a running back. It's that the money was too much, and the Jets were actually bidding against themselves. So
I know
from what I heard.
That no one wanted Bell, really, not for that price anyways. It's like, why? It's almost like the Jacksonville Jaguars giving Nick Foles so much money. It's like, why did you do that when no one else really cared for him?
I think it was they wanted to give him the offer he couldn't refuse, basically the Godfather offer. And
did it help
the
team at all?
Well, there was really no way to help the offensive line last year except through the draft, and Mike Maccagnan was allergic to offensive linemen. So that was a combination of we've had 9 terrible years of drafting, and busts. We've had busts in the first round. The Jets couldn't hit in the late rounds like the other teams could. They also have failed in free agency. So from an executive standpoint, the Jets have been the worst team in the league. And honestly, from a fantasy standpoint, I probably would be hesitant to draft Le'Veon Bell this year because the offensive line is going to be rookies and average guys, just a guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and
I think he can produce.
I think you have to worry about not being off the off-season training programs as well. Like, can these rookies step in and actually be ready for the season? That's going to be worrisome as well.
I'm not 100% sure about OTAs, but with the delayed training camp, that's going to be the problem because I'm not sure how long. I don't know if they're going to delay training camp and then keep it the regular length, or they're going to shorten training camp and start the season earlier, or on time, and it's going to be a shortened training camp. So
that's not a good sign for rookies, I don't think. Hopefully they can overcome it. I mean, that's the goal, right? But especially offensive linemen, and then if the Jets take a wide receiver, like a good wide receiver normally opens up lanes a little bit for running backs. Right now, the top wide receiver for the Jets, I think, is Crowder, I guess, unless we want to count Perriman. But I think their best wide receiver is going to be a rookie as well.
Best wide receiver is Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, their best receiver is Le'Veon Bell.
Actually, their top 3 receivers are Le'Veon Bell, Chris Herndon, and Crowder.
Yeah.
The tight end, Chris Herndon.
Do you think Herndon will have a comeback this year?
That will depend on how well the line can protect Sam Darnold. And that's another reason why I wouldn't even take Sam Darnold in fantasy at all.
Yeah, well,
unless
he should not be taken. In Dynasty, he's going to be because everyone owns pretty much anyone that's worth owning in a Dynasty league. You have 30-man rosters. But, yeah, in a redraft, he should not be drafted.
Josh Allen,
mm-hmm.
the running back, Josh Allen. I mean quarterback,
hey.
Sorry.
don't get me started.
where does he fit? Where does he fit in the fantasy lens?
Oh, he's fantastic. I mean, this year I think he was the quarterback 6 or 7. He was super, super, super consistent, and I think that's the best part about what he did this year is that he never killed you. There were some really great games where he won you weeks, but he never lost you weeks. He was just super consistent. I think most of the fantasy world has him as a top 5 quarterback at least in Dynasty. And then I think he could be an easy top 5, 6, 7 quarterback in redraft.
I do think, the thing that's worth mentioning from a strategy standpoint in fantasy leagues is that most scoring, like traditional league scoring, is very lopsided towards giving extra or awarding points on a different rushing skill for quarterbacks just because you don't see quarterbacks rush as often. So usually they'll, get...
Well, so it's the same amount of points
it's
for rushing.
Yeah.
But the thing is they get 1 point per 10 yards rushing and you get 1 point per 25 yards passing. So if you're a rushing quarterback, you just get way more points because you only need 10 yards compared to 25 yards if you're more of a passing quarterback.
You did a much better way of explaining that. But the scoring just sort of tilts towards that. So, like, when you look at a player like Lamar Jackson, his passing was incredibly efficient this year, but where he made so much of his money was the fact that he ran for how many yards, 1,200?
Yeah, that's 125 points right there extra, which is insane. And you're not going to get that from a Sam Darnold at all.
No.
So people get upset, I think, for both of us, if we talk about any player in a bad light. But we're talking fantasy here. So, like, no, I don't like Sam Darnold in fantasy whatsoever. But I'm not saying he can't be a good NFL quarterback. It's just I don't want him for fantasy because it's, a lot of these young guys, if they have no rushing ability, it's not – Sam Darnold can, you know, get out of the pocket and scramble if he needs to. But if they're not, like, a mobile quarterback, then I'm not really interested in them because that's kind of the cheat code unless they're – absolutely electric through the air, like Patrick Mahomes. Like that's
right.
The,
like a 4,000 to 5,000 yards in the air.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm always looking for those rushing quarterbacks that are young that can take that next step forward and keep getting better. So that's why Josh Allen is one of my favorite quarterbacks in fantasy.
Now, when you – I'm going to go back to Dynasty for a minute because we're talking about the mobile quarterbacks and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Would I know they're going to be there from a fantasy perspective, they're going to be good quarterbacks. The question is, how long do you hold on to them in Dynasty? Because we're witnessing it right now with Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton, Cam Newton's 30, and these guys are both like 22, 23, so they're still plenty of time. Also, Cam Newton was the quarterback, too, in 2017. The last full year he played, he was the quarterback, too. And then in 2018, before he got hurt, he was the quarterback, 3. So he was still absolutely awesome for fantasy, all the way up to his Liz Frank injury. And you can't really blame him for that. And I don't really think that's an injury that you can be like, oh, see, he's a running quarterback. Any running quarterback's going to get a Liz Frank injury. Like, I think that's a pretty random one. So, you're going to want to sell him before they hit the age of 30 because I guess they can slow down. But they still have, like, 7 years. So I would hold on for at least a few years. I'm going to trade them anyways. I trade nonstop. So they're going to be traded off my team within the next couple of years for sure.
Well, and it also
you'll get them back if you trade nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll have Josh Allen, and then I won't have him, and a year later I'll have him, and that'll be this whole circle.
The thing, you know, that sort of going back to dynasty strategy, you know, you also want to make sure that you're selling these guys. If you are planning to sell, because, like, Lamar Jackson, he is a asset that should be valuable for a long time, as long as he's able to stay healthy and as long as he's in a system that I think is catered very well to his skill set. He's going to be super productive for fantasy, but you definitely always have to have in the back of your mind, when am I going to get peak value for this player? I feel like there's never a player that's totally off the boards in terms of who you're not willing to sell. Because there's always somewhere out there who's willing to grossly overpay you for a fantasy asset, like Christian McCaffrey.
That's something that's not always true in redraft, right? Like, you're not always willing to sell everyone in redraft because what are you going to sell them for? Like, there's not really a point. But in Dynasty, if you offer me something and there's so much potential to make my team better in the future, like years to come, then you're going to consider it. But in redraft, it's like, okay, well, they have to be fantastic for me right now. So you better send me, like, 3 amazing guys for this one elite guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I have one more question about redraft, and that's about number 12.
Tom Brady?
Yeah. Because of the move to Tampa, do you think his value has gone up?
I don't know about gone up.
For redraft.
He was actually pretty decent last year if you look at where he landed, like, at the end of the year. I do think that doesn't necessarily show the full picture because I feel like owning him was terrible. But he did have some good weeks. And now that he's going from Julian Edelman and, like, that's it, Julian Edelman, James White, to Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. That's a massive difference. So, and Bruce Arians will actually let him throw the ball, hopefully, if he's able to, instead of throwing 2 yards in front of him. So I do think his value goes up.
I think definitely you look at the system, and it's tilted towards the pass. And, you know, Tom Brady, despite the fact that he's an old man, he he's still making a lot of pass attempts, which fits right into Bruce Arians' hands. I think he's definitely got such a tremendous improvement in terms of the assets that he's working with. I think Tom Brady is actually going to be on a lot of my teams in 2020, and I've never been a huge Tom Brady fan, but he's even a guy that, you know, in a dynasty league, I might be willing to buy if I'm in a win now mode and I think I have a talented team. He's somebody that I'm making some offers for right now.
Okay. I just learned this about her, so I'm a little shocked.
I'm keeping it spicy.
Wow. So you learn something new every day, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
That's my talk of the day.
So where can everybody find you? Two of you.
I'm again, Kate. You can find me on Twitter at @FFBallBlast.
I'm Michelle at BallBlastM, BallBlastEM.
We have our podcast, which is called Ball Blast, one word. We'll help you blast the balls of your league mates all year round. We talk about dynasty, redraft, we honestly a little bit of everything.
We chug beers a lot.
We chug beers. We have bets all the time, so we have a really fun time there. I'm currently writing for RotoWorld, so you can check out my weekly column there. I post one up every Wednesday. So, yeah, check us out all there. Michelle does some awesome Twitter threads, does a lot of really good player profiles. So, you know, definitely recommend
those. Getting in the stats, really.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing a mock draft right now, which I'm kind of mad at right now.
Why?
Because the Jets fans took the wide receiver over the tackle.
Oh, my goodness. I know that's what's going to happen, and that will suck for your team. Just wait to the second round to take a wide receiver. There will be great guys there, and you need that tackle.
And that's why Michelle put the little warning.
Yeah, I put the thing that says vote for who you think will be drafted, not who you want, because everyone's obsessed with wide receivers and running backs because, you know, my followers are fantasy. But, yeah, they still went with Jerry Jeudy. I mean, that's not a bad pick, but
I would have taken CeeDee Lamb over Jerry.
I don't know if you noticed, but I actually pointed that out in a retweet because I was like, she said, pick the guy who you think they will take and not who you want. And I got mad because obviously if two tackles are available, they're not taking a wide receiver.
Do you want Becton? Like, which tackle would you want the most? What would you order
me?
Those top four? Yeah.
The top four, like ranking-wise, or how I want them?
How you want the Jets to take them.
Okay. Becton is my favorite. Because I like his upside, and as far as the other, then I like Wirfs. I'm having a brain fart here. Which one was the right tackle?
Wills is the right tackle for Alabama.
Okay, Wirfs, then Wills, then Thomas. Thomas isn't a scheme fit.
Okay, I understand.
I mean, he's an okay scheme fit, but he's not great. I actually had a prediction earlier on last week that I think the Jets have Jones higher than on their board than Thomas, but that's just a gut feeling. I don't have any inside information. Just my gut says they have Jones higher on their board than Thomas.
So I was going to ask you, what if those four tackles go before the Jets? It could happen. Because you know Arizona, Jacksonville could use them. Carolina, like there's a lot of teams that could use a tackle, right? In Cleveland, if they all four go, which I do think there'll be one, at least one left for the Jets. But let's say they all four go. Would you rather them take a Jerry Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb, one of the top wide receivers off the board, or Jones?
Am I stuck at 11?
I mean, I guess you can move back. So would your goal would be to move back and take Jones.
Right. And get more draft picks. But, if I'm stuck there, then I'd probably take Jones.
Okay.
But only because, even though he's a developmental pick and Lamb or Jeudy can start right away, it doesn't matter if you can't protect the quarterback.
Okay. Absolutely. No, I agree with you. I think you would just have to cry and take a few shots if all four of those guys were gone.
If all four guys are gone, I'm buying a new television.
Yeah, and then I actually, if I was a fan of the Jets and all four guys are gone, I think I'd go with Jerry Jeudy because, I mean, Jerry Jeudy is totally that short guy that can bring it to the house, so you don't need to have your line, you know, blocked for you very long to get it to Jeudy, and he can create something out of nothing. So I would maybe go there over Jones in that case, but I can't argue with you either way.
Are you guys excited about how the NFL, the real draft, is going to look like a fantasy war room?
I know, that is insane. I'm just excited that it's happening, so I don't really care how it happens or what it looks like.
Well, it depends on how you read the tweet from Adam Schefter from about 3:30 this afternoon.
Well, he just clearly doesn't want the draft to happen. I don't think he wants to do his job right now. I think it's pretty obvious he doesn't want it to happen, which is fine. I get it.
There are a lot of people that don't want
the draft. Yeah, and I think a lot of teams just don't feel ready.
Well, that's what he said. He said guys don't want to go. He said the IT guys don't want to go to the houses to set up the computer.
Have you ever had your IT guy come to you before? Like,
I don't have an IT guy. I don't have an IT guy. I did it all by myself.
Exactly. Well, I can't because we don't have an IT guy, but for the massive company I work for, we have an IT guy, and you put in a ticket, and they come in remotely. I mean, they can get into your computer remotely and fix everything that's going on or set up everything.
Yeah.
So I think that's a massive thing that the owners or the GMs may be saying or the coaches, but that's just an excuse because they don't feel ready because they haven't been able to do the player evals correctly. The IT thing is not a thing. Like, they can get everything set up for you remotely, 100%.
And in terms of worrying about, you know, hackers and things, like,
even if they need to send you equipment, like, they'll send it to you, get IT on the phone, they'll walk you through it, and then they'll do everything else from your computer remotely. Like, they don't need to come into your house.
Yeah, the Patriots just have to go outside your front window and just spy through the window.
Exactly. There's no going around that. The Patriots will be cheating, but I'm sure they already found a way to cheat in the real draft, too, so it's fine.
Yeah, well, that's actually the show for today, and I hope you guys can come on again during the season or even in a week or so after the real draft is done and we can see which players are going where and see where they actually fit in fantasy. It was great to have you guys on.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was fun.
Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. I will be back whenever I can whenever I can get content up. Hopefully, another episode on Saturday. Have a great week.